go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Zion.
And we welcome you into Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com alongside John Schmelk. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. Hope you had a restful bye week as the Giants get back to work today, correct? We were able to recuperate and regroup, and everything pretty much fell into line for the Giants. Even though they did not play a game, the Redskins and Eagles both lost. The Cowboys did win, but you have a one-game cushion on Washington and Philadelphia right now, John. You have four teams separated by two games, and you have a big divisional game ahead of you this weekend as they will head to D.C. to face the Redskins.
Well, and look, you look at these games, and you see the Eagles and the Redskins both giving up more than 40 points. Both teams allowed five passing touchdowns, and you say, wow. That's a terrible week for these two teams. And on the surface, yes, it looks that way. But, Lance, you mentioned this before the show, and I thought it was a great point. Combined, those two teams committed 9 turnovers in those two games. And you want to know how you give up 40 points and you get blown out? You have 9 turnovers. So the Redskins and Eagles didn't do themselves any favors in those two games. There was a bad call in that Redskins game as well. They should have had a defensive touchdown that got called back on a hit to the head on a defenseless receiver, which was not a hit to the head on a defenseless receiver. And the Eagles with their backup quarterback, their run defense gets absolutely destroyed, which to me was a big surprise based on the fact their run defense this year has actually been pretty solid and much better than their secondary. That being said, it's great news for the Giants, a one-game lead. But, you know, I was listening to Joe and Evan on WFN interview Carl Banks earlier today. Carl does that from my office. On the line, and they're like, I can't imagine a scenario where the Giants don't win this division. Relax. Guys, the Giants are in the driver's seat. They control their own destiny. But there's still a lot of time left here. It's only a one-game difference, two-game difference with Dallas. We'll talk about them in a second. And there's still a lot of games left to play here, Lance. Giants, they're in a great spot, but a lot more work to do.
Absolutely. And by the way, Tom Coughlin is addressing the media as we speak. We'll keep you updated on that. And then the players are going to be in the locker room addressing the media, too, as they return from the bye. So we'll certainly discuss some Giants issues as we also continue to look at the division. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. And we want to remind fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code Contact to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play.
Tom Coughlin, by the way, says Justin Pugh still going through the concussion protocol, so he was not on the practice field today. Hopefully he will be when they return on Wednesday to practice.
And he missed the Patriots game,
correct.
So obviously he's still trying to recover on that front. He was dehydrated the morning of that Patriots game, woke up with some issues. That's why they held him out. So that is probably the most notable injury, or at least recovery, from that standpoint. You brought up the term control your own destiny,
yeah.
John. And I think that's an important term, even though we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. You know, a lot of people want to start to speculate, well, you know, this game's important, that game's important. If Philly continues to play like this, they'll be eliminated from contention. I think from the Giants' perspective, it's very simple. They don't need to worry about everybody else in the division. They don't need to worry about who's playing who every single weekend. They are in a position where, as long as they continue to win football games, they are going to put themselves in a position to wrap up this division. So, you know, nobody has to put together algorithms, mathematical equations, tiebreaker circumstances. We're not at that stage. The positive is they're in a position with 6 games to go to say, hey, we've got a divisional game against Washington. We've got a divisional game against Philly. We've got a few games out of conference. We've got tough tests against Carolina and Minnesota. But we don't need help. We can take care of our own.
I think one of our fact or fiction questions last week, if I remember right, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, on our written thing on Giants.com that we do every Friday, the two of us and Dan Salamone, was what's the biggest threat to the Giants in the NFC East? And the answer you want to give is one of the 3 other teams. My answer was the Giants.
You had to be
for
different.
That main reason.
Yes.
These 3 other teams are 1 game and 2 games behind the Giants. The Giants are in first place right now. And if the Giants play like they did against New England the rest of the way, they'll be in great shape. And right now, if they go 4-2, I don't want to throw out the word guarantee, but if the Giants can go 4-2 the rest of the way, Lance, I'm very confident that they will win the NFC East. If they go 3-3, beat the Redskins and Eagles along the way to 3-3, I still think they're in great shape to win the NFC East, simply because of tiebreakers and where they would stand. They would stand 4-2 in the division, having swept the Redskins and split with Dallas and Washington. Dallas and Philadelphia, excuse me. So the Giants control their own destiny. You cannot be in a better position here with six games to play. That being said, and this is the point I was making before, you have to beat Washington this week. Because if you go into Washington and you lose that game, all of a sudden you no longer control your own destiny. This stuff can change in the snap of a finger in a week.
That's what the NFL's all about.
You lose to Washington, you're tied with them. They'll probably own the tiebreaker on you based on division record. Washington still has to play Dallas twice in the division and Philadelphia once. So they will then control their own destiny in terms of who's going to the playoffs out of the NFC East. So these things can change in a second. This game against Washington this week is so important for the Giants to maintain that advantage in the division.
Goes without saying, divisional games are of the utmost importance because, you know, as John just mentioned, it's the first tiebreaker, which is divisional record. And that's why you want to have a winning record in that category. Plus, if you lose to Washington, you'll essentially put yourself in a position where you may wind up with a split with all three divisional competitors. You won't have a winning record. And the winning record is the easiest way to break a tie with your competitors. The interesting thing to at least speculate about and debate, John, is it going to be 8-8? Is it going to be 9-7? And I could really see it going either way at this point in terms of the record needed to win the division.
I don't think Dallas will. Let's start with Dallas first. They beat Miami 24-14 over the weekend, by the way. First game run was back. They win. Shockingly, you get your starting quarterback, you start winning again. He didn't even play that well, but his mere presence on the field really gives them an edge. I don't think Dallas runs the table the rest of the way.
I think
their best case scenario, they lose one game, or maybe Carolina or Green Bay, whichever game they happen to lose. Best case scenario, Dallas goes 8-8. So that tells me 9-7 is going to win you the division, right? You got 4-6, Washington and Philadelphia. Philly will be without their starting quarterback against Sam Bradford on Thursday. They think he'll be back the next week. We'll see what happens. Shoulder injuries, you know, concussions, you don't know how that's going to go down. That being said, do I think either one of those teams are going to go the rest of the year and lose just one game? I find that extremely unlikely, to be quite honest with you. I don't think those teams are going to go 5-1 the rest of the way. So, no, I don't think either one of those teams is going to go 9-7. So I think 9-7 guarantees it. I think there will be – let me put it this way. At the end of the year, I think there will be more than one team in this division at 8-8 or better.
That's fair.
So if you go 8-8, if you go 8-8, excuse me, you have to win the tiebreaker if you're going to win the division. That's how I look at this and how it's going to break down. That's my gut.
That's why, from the Giants' perspective, you have the Redskins, the Eagles game. From the Cowboys' perspective, you have two Redskins games. So if Dallas theoretically beats Washington twice, that would push them to 4-2.
They played Philly twice
in the
already,
division,
right?
Correct.
And they split with the Giants and the Eagles.
There you go.
Okay.
So they can go to 4-2 in the division. The Giants could go to 4-2 in terms of the divisional record. Mm-hmm. And if Washington obviously loses to Dallas, they're not going 4-2 within the division. So there's a number of games that are going to change the landscape. And I just brought up Philadelphia's schedule because we're talking about realistically, can they get to 8-8? Can they get to 9-7? You got New England and Arizona still ahead if you're Philadelphia. And you couldn't stop Tampa Bay's offense.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just 2 weeks ago, Lance, we talked about how Philly had the easiest schedule the rest of the way. But here's the problem. Two of their quote-unquote easier games are the games they just lost. They lost against Miami and they lost against Tampa, both those games at home in Philadelphia. I mean, those are two huge losses in the long term here. Now the rest of the way, all of a sudden, this schedule doesn't look that easy. You talk about the Giants having to play the Panthers and having to play the Vikings, which are two very tough games, obviously, two teams that are likely going to be in the postseason. Well, look at the Eagles. They got to play in New England. They got to play against Arizona. I mean, those are arguably, in my opinion at least, the most likely Super Bowl matchup at this point in the NFL, Patriots and Cardinals. So they have games that are just as difficult. You know, the Giants have to play the Jets. The Philadelphia Eagles have to play the Bills. What's
Buffalo's
the difference?
No picnic.
Both teams have to play Washington. They have to play each other. And then the only other game that's different is that the Giants have to play at Minnesota and the Eagles have to play at Detroit because they, you know, that's how the records lined up last year based on records. So the Eagles and the Giants' schedules are very similar the rest of the way to me in terms of the degree of difficulty.
Well, and the biggest difference, because when they determine the fact that the Giants have the toughest schedule remaining in the NFL based on winning percentage of the opponents, when you're playing an unbeaten team, that obviously brings up the winning percentage.
Well, but the Eagles also have
everybody else is dealing
suck.
With.
The Patriots
well, but I'm saying
beat.
Carolina gives the edge to the Giants having the toughest schedule because that's a pristine record that's being equated into the winning percentage as opposed to, yes, New England's, but I think Minnesota, Arizona, you could argue they balance each other
sure
out.
They do. Absolutely.
I mean, you could certainly make an argument that they're slightly even. However, when you look at the Giants' remaining schedule, you know, obviously Miami started off decent, recovered, now has sort of fallen back down to earth. The Jets got off to a hot start. They've also fallen back down to earth. Narrative changes. That's what the NFL's all about.
Week to week. That's why when, you know, we sit here before the year, people talk about easy schedule, tough schedule. It's just, it's really, really hard to tell until you're into the season, who's healthy any given week, et cetera, et cetera. As for the Redskins, Lance, you have it up right here. We mentioned the three now division games that they have remaining. Four, excuse me. They have the Giants, the Cowboys twice, and Philadelphia. So, frankly, considering how the NFC East has struggled this year, that's probably advantage Redskins, let's be honest.
Well, if you want to have any opponents, you're right. You want to have everybody within the division. Well, of your remaining six games.
And all joking aside, that's how they control their own destiny. They have all these division games. So they control tiebreakers. They control record. I mean, you could make the argument the Redskins are the most important team in determining who's going to win this division simply because they play all the teams. So whether they win or lose is going to affect how other teams are going to do. The other two games are at Chicago and home versus the Bills. So all these teams have division games and an NFC North game and an AFC East game remaining on their schedule. So I think it'll be interesting. I think look at Dallas. They have one tough game against Carolina on Thursday. If they can somehow sneak by that, it'll give them a chance to make a little bit of a run. They have the Packers, the Redskins twice, and then they have two AFC East games against the Bills and the Jets.
So a few teams are still playing AFC opponents, which are not killers in terms of tiebreakers, but in the race to get to 8-8, 9-7, those games are still very much important. You can't necessarily remove that from the equation. We'll continue to keep you posted on the NFC East, Tom Coughlin, as well as players' reaction in the locker room. We're also going to open up, obviously, the phone lines here as we take you till the top of the hour at 201-939-4513. Any news on the Tom Coughlin
I got
front?
Some Tom Coughlin stuff. Sure. Says Akeem Nicks is excited about being back. He's had good energy at practice, brings veteran experience to the locker room and the meeting rooms. Let's see what else. Do we have anything else on injuries for Mr. Coughlin? Today's practice is just to get the players back into the flow. Wednesday starts prep for Washington. That's Patty Traina tweeting that. All our great beat reporters out there covering what coach is saying. Tom and Akeem Nicks, I'm hoping that's exactly what he can be. Nicks, I guess a reporter asked whether or not Nicks can be the type of player he was when he left. Oh, boy, how about this? This is not Tom Coughlin related, but wow. The Jets waived Quentin Coples today.
Wow. That just goes to show you the position that that team is in right now, shaking things up.
Richburg was not out today. He's still dealing with that ankle injury, I believe. Let's see.
We mentioned Pugh, obviously, earlier in the
Coughlin
program.
Coughlin says he does not know if Prince Mukamara will wear some sort of protective device coming back from that tricep injury, the pec injury, excuse me. He's medically cleared to play, though, so that I would imagine that means that Prince will be out on the field today, this weekend, and a practice today, which is certainly going to be good for the Giants, dealing with two very talented wide receivers, and three, really, in Crowder, Garcon, and DeSean Jackson.
And Jordan Reed, their tight end, too. Let's not forget about
him.
Yeah,
he almost has 50 receptions this year.
Correct. Here's a Tom Coughlin quote, and this just sums up the mindset for the team. Quote, we are relevant. Now we've got to do something about it. It's a six-game season.
Yeah, this is from the Giants. This is the quote, six-game season. Every game is critical. We are relevant. Now we have to finish. There you go.
Self-explanatory.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody would disagree with that sentiment.
And by the way, we've kind of talked all year, Lance, and I'm going to bring it up right now. If you can bring up the standings for me real fast. My computer died, folks, so I have to rely on Lance Meadow here, which is always something I never want to have to do.
No, not at all, especially when it comes to a program.
No.
Multitasking, not necessarily a strength of mine.
All right. Is it out of the question for a team to be competing for a wild card spot in the NFC? Right now, the second wild card is probably going to come out of the NFC North with the Packers and the Vikings. They're both 7-3, okay? The next best team in the division is in the conference is 6-4, and they're the Falcons, and they're playing legitimately bad football. They've lost three
straight games.
And they got
two games with Carolina left. Let's not forget about that.
That's a great point. I forgot about that. So they're 6-4. Everyone else is 5-5 or worse. I mean, we kept saying this year there's no chance of a second team coming out of the NFC East. Do we know that? I mean, this conference is a disaster.
Well, a lot of teams have fallen back down into the pack.
And others have come up out of the bottom.
Correct. I mean, at this
point.
Look
at the Bucs. They're 5-5.
Carolina, Arizona, and Minnesota pretty much in very good position. And Green Bay has regrouped, but still no lock between Green Bay and Minnesota. So you say maybe four, you have a pretty good idea. That opens up one of the wild card spots. And Atlanta's in the conversation. Seattle's in the conversation.
That's
at 5-5. Tampa Bay's in the conversation,
too. I
think
Seattle's the team that makes the late run and makes the playoffs over the Falcons. That's my gut feel for it. What's Seattle's schedule?
Bringing that up right now. I'm sure Seattle has a few divisional games.
What do you got there?
Arizona and St. Louis to close out the season. Pittsburgh, Minnesota. Next two games are no easy task. And then Baltimore and Cleveland. Flacco's now out for the season. And the Browns obviously have been up and down.
But can they go 4-2? If they can go 4-2 in their final six and 9-7, I bet they'll be the second wild card. Pittsburgh, Big Ben's back. Baltimore, now Flacco's out. And Forsett's out. Boy, the Ravens.
Yeah.
What a rough year they're
having.
No
luck on the injury front.
Oh, boy, not at all.
By the way, which just goes to show you, there's other teams. We talk about the Giants a lot with injuries. Other teams also deal with these types of circumstances as well.
That's a great point, Lance. The Browns have struggled. The Rams have certainly begun to have they're having issues now. They're changing quarterbacks over there. Now they have the Case Keenum controversy. We won't get into that. And then, Arizona, think of it this way, too. This is Seattle's schedule. There's a good chance Arizona's not playing for anything in that final
game. So they
game.
Rest all their starters. That may get them to 4-2. Because I'm doing the math right now. I'm seeing 3-3. But now that you take it into consideration, that may not be a game that means anything for Arizona.
I mean, Lance, they can any one of those first five games are winnable. They can win in Minnesota. They can win in Baltimore. They can beat Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm going based on the law of average.
I guess.
I'm giving 3-3 to be conservative.
That's fine.
4-2 is certainly doable, especially if Arizona has nothing to play for in Week 17.
So, again, I'm saying is that, Pete, we've said all year only one team out of the NFC East might want to pump the brakes on that, because I could see there being an 8-8 wild card team. I could see it. 9-7 is more likely, and I think that's where we'll land, especially with a team like the Seahawks. But 8-8 right now, not out of the question in terms of wild card pick.
Which just goes to show you gotta grind it out when it comes to the NFL season.
Right.
Early in this year, we never expected two teams to perhaps enter the conversation. If somebody gets hot, approaches 8-8, tiebreakers, Atlanta falls down a little bit, who knows?
So here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. Giants fans, you got six games to go. You obviously try to win every single one. That's number one. However, if you go 4-2 the rest of the way, great chance you're playing postseason football. I'm not guaranteeing anything for you now. Great chance you're playing postseason football if you go 4-2.
9 wins, I think, is a safe bet to win this division.
Or
you put yourself in a 9-7 spot. Correct, the wild card. But I think right now, obviously, the goal is you want to win the division. You want to host a playoff game. Any team that could get to 9-7, I think, really puts themselves in a strong position and doesn't necessarily have to worry about tiebreakers. It's when you get to that 8-8 range, that's where it's somewhat of a toss-up.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT. To claim your free entry today, DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Lance, let's get the call.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Lloyd is in Syracuse. He gets us going on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lloyd, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen. Last time I called in, it was about Eli's contract, so it's been a little bit. And I didn't mean to call in last week, but I lost my voice. I was at the game cheering. I'm just getting it back now.
It's all good, Lloyd. What's up?
I love Carl Banks, but he's dead wrong, and this is my opinion. It's not that I'm right, and I've heard you guys say this. It's just nobody's necessarily right here. But there's plenty of times where you put the ball in the air and you take a chance of a guy picking it off, running it back, and ending the game. And when I was sitting there in the stadium and they threw the ball to Beckham and everybody else was cheering because they thought he had it, I was the one guy in my section that was still sitting there doing the math, like, okay, now they got to go for two. And how much time are they leaving Brady, blah, 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 blah. I'm running through all of that in my head, and I'm like, they should have been running the ball. And it wasn't second-guessing the entire time. As soon as they got in the field goal range, I was just yelling, please run the ball. Please run the ball.
So, Lloyd, I will ask you a simple question. And this is the only question I'll ask, and I don't want to rehash this argument from last week. Are you comfortable handing Tom Brady the football down 2 points with a minute 15 seconds to go on his own 20-yard line with no timeouts?
No, that's why I wasn't comfortable with him getting the ball back with any time, and I thought that it would have been a great idea as soon as we got in the field goal range to do everything we could to kill the clock on the way to whether it was scoring a touchdown or a field goal. Whatever it was we got, and whatever happened after that happened, but I thought we could have done more to run time off the clock.
Yeah, but look, you don't know you're going to convert those extra first downs if you're running the ball like you wanted to. You know, once you get, let's say, inside the 35-yard line, if you want to use that as a guide, you know, if you start pounding the ball and running the football there, I mean, you don't know you're going to get enough first downs to run the clock based on the lack of success the Giants had running the ball earlier in the game.
Well, that might be true, but it's just the fact that if you put the ball in the air and they pick it off in the game, you don't have a shot of scoring anything.
Well, but, you know, once again, Lloyd, and I don't mean to cut you off, we're still talking about hypotheticals here. If Beckham holds on to the football, that's a touchdown, and you pad a lead, regardless of whether or not you're giving Tom Brady the ball back with a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you always want 7 points versus three when you're playing New England. So I think that's a great philosophy to have entering the game. And if Beckham catches that, you're at least padding yourself and protecting yourself, and you're forcing New England to have to go the entire length of the field and get in the end zone, not settle for a field goal, not get into field goal range, get into the end zone. That doesn't mean you're going to do that, but I take my chances with a touchdown cushion, giving Brady the ball back with limited time versus taking the conservative approach and just worrying about running out the clock.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's in hindsight that they did throw the ball and he did catch it and it did get batted out of his hands. I'm talking about before it happened. This was just my perspective on it. I didn't want us taking a chance of putting the ball in the air for an interception to happen in the game ending. We had points that were being given to us in the form of a field goal. It was a given that we were going to get those. Josh Brown hasn't missed anything all year, except I think maybe one extra point. It was a given that we were getting those. To run the ball to score the touchdown, and I know that we had a wall in front of us, and I know that we haven't been able to run the ball effectively, and we had two offensive linemen out. I understand all of that. I don't care if he knelt it down. I am as conservative as can be. I want the ball on the ground, run it for the touchdown. If you don't get it, you don't get it. And you kick the field goal, and whatever time's left on the clock is there, whatever happens, happens. At least then I can say he didn't risk throwing the interception. This is the same guy that ended the game against the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. We couldn't learn a lesson from them not to put it in the air?
Well, keep in mind, Lloyd, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
And in the end, we're going to have to agree to disagree here. We're obviously
Absolutely.
Not going to convince you. You're not going to convince us, which is fine. Everyone has their opinion.
Everybody does have their opinion. There is no right or wrong answer. It's all about strategy and so forth. But I'm looking back at the drive here, John. And, you know, we're not necessarily interested in rehashing the New England Patriots game. We're more interested in looking ahead. But 7 of the 15 plays on that last Giants drive that ultimately ended with a field goal involved either the running back as a runner or a dump off. So a short pass is not necessarily putting the ball in a dangerous area.
It's like they ran it, what, 3 times during that drive? They started the drive with a run to Jennings.
Correct. Then they had a Vereen run.
For 9.
Jennings run two plays later. A few plays later, Jennings again.
Oh, so 4.
So 4. Okay. But I'm also taking into consideration 2nd and 6 from the 7, short pass to Jennings. That's not a dangerous throw. You're not throwing it down the field. Then a little bit later in the drive, another short pass to Jennings for 7. And then,
all right, well, his argument is once you got into field goal range, he wanted to run the ball more. You're not, the Giants converted a 3rd and 3 at their own 42-yard line. You are not yet in field goal range at the 42.
Now you got into field goal range. 1st and 10 at the New England 28. So they, from this point on.
Correct. They ran it the first time.
Correct.
And I believe New England called a timeout after that play. They must have, because the next play was run at 2:10. So the New England Patriots call a timeout. So, and I guess he wants to run it again at the New England 23, but he could play an 18-yard pass down to the 5. I mean, you're getting a first down there. I don't know. I don't want to get back into this. Let's try to move forward here.
Absolutely. Let's move back to the phone lines here. We'll also check in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. AJ is in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
With the high key Knicks signing, hold on, don't take snaps away from Dwayne Harris. I like
what you. Well, I don't think he's going to eat into the playing time of Dwayne Harris, AJ, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. You know, he's going to be another option who adds experience to the back end of the depth chart. John, I could see him being, you know, maybe a third down specialist, the guy that Eli Manning could turn to for a key first down. But with the way Harris is playing, I don't see Hakeem Nicks eating into his snap count.
I don't think significantly, but it would not surprise me if the Giants try to reserve some of Harris for special teams, given how many snaps he's had to play on offense. I mean, they are really burning his candle at both ends right now. And eventually, he's going to run out of gas. He's going to get hurt. I mean, he's playing a lot of snaps. I mean, a lot of snaps. So, Would I be surprised that rather than playing, and I don't know if these numbers are accurate, I'm just throwing them out there. Let's say Harris would play 45 offensive snaps, or 50 offensive snaps to make it simple. Say 50. Maybe Hakeem Nicks gets that number down to 43 or 42.
So that he could take it back, though, on special teams?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
Well, you're fresher at the end. I mean, wouldn't they love to have Dwayne Harris on the field at the end of that game against the Saints to cover that punt? I think they would have. So if you can just cover him for a few snaps on offense, I think it'll help. You put Nicks outside. You move Beckham into the slot on those plays. Beckham could be very effective running out of the slot, too. So that wouldn't shock me. But do I think he's going to get his snaps cut in half because of Hakeem Nicks? Well, absolutely not. I think you're looking at
a difference
eight
of maybe
10 snaps
a few
game,
snaps
maybe 15,
here or there. That's
maybe.
Understandable. I mean, they have been using also Shane Vereen in terms of special teams as well. They have other options that they can utilize if they can't or they don't want to wear down Harris,
well,
I should
it's
say.
Coverage teams, though, too. It's not just a return
Absolutely.
Game.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, Harris was on the field, though, for that Julian Edelman return.
He was, right.
So they have been utilizing him. It's
That's
not
true.
As if they've solely been keeping him on the sideline. But I guess I understand your point. It would open the door to perhaps get him in crunch time late in the fourth
and
quarter.
And he's fresher.
Perhaps.
And I think that's part of it. I mean, Harris is a tough guy. He's going to keep playing. He doesn't care. He's not going to take himself out of the game. But just like you rotate your defensive linemen, you want your guys as fresh as possible at the end of the game. And, you know, it's not, you know, as good as Harris has been, it's not like he's Odell Beckham Jr. out there at wide receiver either. So I think a guy like Nicks might be able to take some of the offensive load off of his shoulders. Now, let's not expect Nicks to be the 2010 Hakeem Nicks now, but maybe he can, you know, be a help on some of those snaps.
Well, and also keep in mind, if that does happen, what you just laid out, John, I think it's going to take maybe another week or two. I don't expect Nicks to come in game one against the Redskins. I understand he had the bye week, but
he's not going to play ball.
Correct. You need to build chemistry also with Eli Manning.
Well, they're
he not
should have
sacrifice
that.
And take that. Well, yeah, but remember, it's been a little time.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, it should come back quicker than perhaps a free agent who's never worked with Eli Manning, but I think you need time to establish that. It's a new offense, new scheme.
Sure.
New language, new jargon, and so forth. Let's head back to the lines. Dre's in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? Hey, John, how's it going?
So well, Dre, what's happening with you?
No, much, man. My phone kind of messed up last time, but let me just tell you. I'm not going to go back to New England game because that was a couple weeks ago. Let's talk to the future.
Thank you.
I want to see what I want to see is what what adjustments we made because we're so, as a Giants fan, we're so consistent of being inconsistent. I want to see a change. You know, all the games we have are winnable games, provided we play our schemes and we do our jobs. It's just the fact that for some reason there's always a hiccup somewhere and we don't finish our games.
Dre, that's what it's like for every team in this league. I hate to say this, every game, every week for pretty much every team is a winnable game. The other team can screw up. You can play specifically well. And every team loses games because they make mistakes. I mean, look at the Falcons yesterday. They were whipping the Colts. What happens? Pick six, the whole game changes. You can say, oh, the Falcons are better than the Colts. Not that day they weren't. Do you know why they made that mistake? That's part of the game.
And an interception in the end zone, too, cost Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to the way the cards are being played. It just seems like, we're in a driver's seat. You know, I watch all the games. I'm going to be at the Washington game, and I'm going to be at the Miami game.
Nice.
So I'm telling you, it's, you know, I got extra gray hairs. You know, I don't want any more. I'm looking for another run so we can make it to the postseason. Because I'm a true fan. I know once we're in there, sky's the limit. And I appreciate y'all taking my call. Y'all have a good one. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much for joining you as well.
Appreciate
Happy holidays to you and the family. No better position to be than in the driver's seat. That's why I said I don't really think investing yourself in what other teams are doing is going to do much of anything to
win
aid the
game.
Conversation. They're
win
one game ahead of the next two teams. All they have to do is win. It's as simple as that.
Hey, look, John's got a lot of help this week. If the Redskins and or the Eagles win that game, they're tied. And that makes things a little bit more complicated. Things are nice and simple right now. Now, go take care of your business against the Redskins. Now, remember, you're not going to walk in there and beat Washington either. Just because they gave a 40 spot to Carolina doesn't mean you're going to just walk in there and, you know, put up 40 points on these guys, all right? It doesn't work that way. First of all, I believe that Redskins game was in Carolina, correct?
Was that in Carolina?
Were they in Carolina or were
actually,
they at home?
It was such a lopsided game. It was in Carolina.
It was in Carolina. Yeah. The Redskins on the road this year have not won a game. So their home record is actually very, very strong. And if you go back to that first game the Giants played against Washington, the Giants won the game, but it's not like they went out there and doubled their total yardage and dominated from, you know, pole to pole. You have to go into Washington, and this is the point I made to Dre. You have to play well. If you go into Washington and you play poorly, you are probably going to lose. There's not that much separating teams in this league anymore where you can go play bad and still win. It doesn't work that way anymore. You got to go down there and take care of business, take the ball away from Kirk Cousins. We all know he's prone to mistakes.
Which they've had a knack of doing.
No question. Protect the ball. Win the game. You have to take care of your own business week against Washington. Otherwise, all that stuff Lance and I opened the show with doesn't mean diddly squat anymore because you don't control your own destiny.
Well, and the Giants are full proof of this given where they are in turnover differential, John. Games may not go as smoothly as they plan, but you make up for it because you have a knack for taking away the football, which goes back to the point, on paper, you can look much better than the Redskins if we're to put both teams up against one another in terms of consistency, quarterback play, this and that. We could put the laundry list together. All it takes, though, is a few sloppy plays, a turnover here or there, field position changes, you hand gifts to the opposition, and the whole narrative of the game changes.
Yeah.
So it's important for, obviously, the Giants to continue the trend of getting those takeaways up, but at the same time, continuing the trend of what they've done so effectively in the first 10 games, and that is protecting the football. That's why they've been competitive in all of these games, regardless of the storylines and what's happened in the fourth quarter. The reason why the Giants have been in all of these games, with the exception of the Eagles contest, and what was the difference in the Eagles contest, John? Not protecting the quarterback and also not protecting the football. That's the biggest difference between the Philadelphia game and the other nine contests this season.
Ironically, didn't the Giants end up winning the turnover battle in that game anyway?
They
like
actually
four
did,
to three?
But it was costly because it was a pick six.
No, absolutely.
So that's the difference there.
I think the only game the Giants didn't win the turnover battle this year was the Falcons game,
two.
Right?
The Niners the game, two, believe it or
49.
Not.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Those are the two.
That explains it. So. And by the way, I want to go back to all those people that you know might be thinking, oh, this game against the Redskins, this is going to be that tough. And I think it was 2010. Let me double-check the game. Nah, it wasn't 2010. I can't remember.
What's
Neely,
the game?
What year was it where the Giants played the Redskins either late November, early December, and Rex Grossman had that big fourth quarter, and it was a bad loss for the Giants?
Wasn't
that 2009?
That
was 2011?
Yeah.
Was that 11? I know
the,
it was either 10 or 11.
I have the wrong team up here.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
That was 2011?
Yeah, I believe it was 11 because then the Giants had to bounce back and beat the Jets and the Cowboys.
Correct.
After a tough loss
and
to the Redskins.
And that was a very, very important game that year. And the Giants were trying to make sure they were in the postseason.
Correct.
And everyone's like, oh, it's Rex Grossman. It's the Redskins. Ah, don't worry about that.
Week 15, 23-10.
And, yeah, that was the week after the Giants had that gigantic – thank you, Neil. A great memory. They had that great win against the Cowboys
JPP
the week before
with the block.
With the block field goal. And everyone thought, oh, we're in the driver's seat for the division. We're in great shape. Then you go and you – let Rex Grossman run up and down the field on you in the fourth quarter. And then everyone's like, oh, no, what the heck's going to happen? And that – turned into the must-win game against the Jets later on in the year, et cetera, et cetera,
and
et cetera.
This also emphasizes the point, Eli Manning, three interceptions in that game, too.
Right.
So the Giants didn't protect the football, which all of a sudden takes away what you see on paper and balances the scales. That's why you got to protect the football. Got to continue what you did in the first nine contests. Let's head back to the lines. Ernest is in Connecticut.
I haven't heard from Ernest in a long,
it's been
time.
A long time.
How
indeed.
Are you, Ernest?
And yourself?
I'm doing great, Ernest.
I just want to ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
First one is, why is it that, why do they keep running Andre Williams when he's not doing anything? Why don't they leave Duckworth in there? And why don't they leave these backs in long enough so that they can get a rhythm? They keep shuffling them in and out and shuffling them in and out, and these guys can't get a rhythm going. Why are they doing that? That's my first question.
Okay. Well, we'll answer it first, and then we'll let you ask your second question. Ernest, I think it would serve the team well if they narrowed the running back rotation a little bit. I agree with you. I'd like to see one guy get maybe closer to 15 carries a game rather than being in that 8 or 9 area. In terms of Andre Williams, it was just 2 weeks ago. I think Andre Williams actually led the Giants in rushing. I think he had 10 rushes, 44 yards 2 weeks ago, and he actually led the team in yards per carry and rushing a couple weeks ago. I have to check on that, but I'm pretty sure he did. But look, I think if they can find the hot hand early, and I think this is why the carries lands have been continued to be spread around, they haven't found the guy that's hot yet. You know, it's, you know, 3 yards, 4 yards here, 2 yards there, 3 yards here, and they haven't been able to find that hot hand. I think once they do, they'll be able to stick with it a little bit more.
Well, I wanted to point out, number one, and Ernest, we'll let you continue here in a second. We're just building off of your point about the running backs. Andre Williams had the best yardage per carry
That's
2 weeks
ago,
correct?
I know something like
against
that.
The Tampa Bay
right.
Buccaneers. Yeah, once in a while you remember something, so we'll give you a pat on the back for that. In terms of why they continue to spread the wealth of the backfield, one thing that I'll throw out, Ernest, I think they're slowly easing Orleans Darkwa back into it. Because remember, he was banged up a few weeks ago, John, and they referenced this. Yeah. Tom Quinn even pointed this out, I believe, in terms of special teams, and Craig Johnson, the running backs coach. You know, they were utilizing him mostly on special teams early on because he was still nursing a few injuries. So once they get him back to full health, and hopefully the bye week helped, I think we're going to get more into a position, as John just alluded to, where Jennings and Darkwa become more of the workhorses in divvying up the carries on the ground. Vereen still used as the main receiver, and then they'll sprinkle in Williams here or there. But I think Darkwa's health is a big reason why he hasn't taken on more, even though he's been by far the most productive running back on the ground.
Okay. And the second one, I guess, you know, I guess it goes along with the running game, is that it seems like, I don't know why, a Coughlin team not be able to manage the clock to where at the end of these games, he always end up with his defense on and trying to win the game. And at this point, our defense is not really that good yet.
Ernest, so, it would not have mattered if Tom Coughlin ran the ball three straight times against the Patriots to end that game. The defense still would have been on the field, and the Patriots still would have had a chance to win, even if they would have ran the ball every single time.
Yeah, but now if you think about it, the same thing happened against Dallas. It happened against Atlanta. The defense ended up being on the field trying to win the game. You don't want that because the defense is not that strong. Those games that we lost by a point or 3 points or two points, it was always the defense on the field. And that's why I'm saying they just to try to manage the clock so that it would not end up with the defense on the field at the end of every single game.
Well, but as John pointed out, Ernest, the Patriots were going to be on the field. They were going to have an opportunity. Time could be debated in terms of how much time was going to be left, but Brady was going to get a shot to do something. So your defense was still going to have to make a stop. And I understand your point about the defense maybe not delivering, but, you know, let's not overlook the fact that if Landon Collins makes that interception, this game is over. On 4th and 10, if they make a stop, this game is over. There were opportunities even with all of the other mathematics that you want to bring into the table on offense. Defense had its opportunities to close the door and was in a position to make those
and
stops.
And by the way, everyone brings up their you know, inability to manage the clock against Dallas. They did use the clock against Dallas. They ran it two straight times, didn't get in, and the clock ran. And everyone called up and screamed about that. So they did what you wanted to do against Dallas. And if Eli would have slid down on that third down play against Dallas instead of throwing an incomplete pass, which is really what was the, you know, thing that killed that game at the very end, we're not having that conversation. So, Ernest, he did against Dallas exactly what you wanted to do. He ran the ball and used clock as much as he possibly could. We appreciate the call, man. Thanks, Ernest.
So, and he slid against New England.
You can't just wave a magic wand and say, we're not going to let them get the ball back. You're balancing scoring, working the clock, protecting the ball. All those things come into the equation on any given game here.
Well, but I still go back to the premise, John, and I understand the concerns about, you know, you don't want to put your defense in a tough position. But if I have a touchdown against Dallas, I have a touchdown against New England.
You win.
I feel pretty good, John.
You win.
That my defense is going to get a stop or at least hold them to not getting into the end zone.
And that's why when I go back to that Dallas game, my biggest thing with that whole game was the Eli Manning telling Jennings not to score. If that doesn't happen, you run the ball into the end zone and we're not even having this conversation
today.
You get
that cushion.
If Odell Beckham holds on to the football, we're not having that conversation today. If the Giants' defense gets a stop against Dallas in week one and doesn't let them go 80 yards in whatever it was, 30 seconds, they got down there like that, we're not having this conversation. If Landon Collins holds on to the interception, we're not having this conversation. So, guys, you can't just say we're not going to let the other team get the ball back. You can't believe a magic wand and just make the clock go away. It's not how it works.
If I had a choice and it doesn't matter whose team it is, what the personnel is, what the stats are, I'm taking the points over playing a game of math with the clock, John. That's just going to be my universal principle.
And this is what I said after that Dallas game. It's very rarely a bad thing to go and score a touchdown. There are certain situations, such as the end of the Super Bowl in 2011 against the Patriots, where you have the ability to run the clock down to zero and all you need is a field goal to win. Those are the times when scoring a touchdown maybe is not your optimal situation. That's why Bradshaw tried not to fall into the end zone on that game-winning touchdown run. But 95% of the time, it's a really good thing to score a touchdown, and that's the best thing you can
well,
do.
Well, and keep in mind, Seattle, though, is trailing in those circumstances, whereas, you know, the Giants are at the point where you just want to cushion the lead at this point. That's what you want to do, and you want to make sure that you're a little bit more comfortable.
I was referencing the Seattle game.
I thought you were referencing Seattle-New England, the Super Bowl?
No,
was
when
that,
the
oh,
Giants
that was,
played
oh,
the
I'm
Patriots
sorry, you were referring to the Giants. I'm keep no, going back to
sorry
the most
about
recent
that.
One.
When the Giants played
that.
The Patriots
okay.
in the Super Bowl,
I hear you.
And Bradshaw
gotcha.
Tried not to get the ball into the end zone.
Okay.
That was one of the situations where you don't want to score the touchdown right away because you can't actually run the clock down to zero and not let the Patriots get the ball back. But 9 times out of 10, you want to score the touchdown.
Well, and then sometimes in Bradshaw's case, when you are thinking it through so carefully, your momentum pulls yourself into the end zone to begin with. You know, so when you think you have the plan laid out, yes, you're smart, go down. They want you. The wind is blowing you in the direction. They want you to get in the end
zone.
You
can't resist the natural instinct and course of events.
That's what it is. All right, let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. He's John Schmelk. I'm Lance Beno. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live as we head back from the bye, look ahead to the Redskins, as well as look at the landscape of the NFC East. Stas is in Washington. Stas,
another long time. What's up, buddy?
Hey, memory lane today.
What's up, fellas?
How we doing?
I'm doing well. So just three quick things. One is a question and just 2 points that I'm trying to make here. So I get it. This is to all the Giants fans. I get it. We're still nostalgic about Earth, Wind, and Fire. But let's just put it out there. We are not a running team. We can't run the ball. We run the ball well enough to keep defenses honest, and that's about it. So if you want to put the game in the hands of the weakest, one of the weakest points of your offense, when the game's on the line, you're insane. Kill the clock or not, you're insane. The man who's winning for us, the man who's taking us, that has won us these games, is Eli Manning. Give him the ball. It is absolutely retarded to take your biggest weapon and put it away when you need it the most.
Stas, I'll say this.
We could run the ball.
Stas, I'll say this, and I think this is very telling. We all know, anybody that's listened to the show, how Paul Dottino's an old-school run-the-football guy. He came on with me last Tuesday and said, John, this is a passing team. They're a passing team. That's what they're good at. That's how they're going to score points. And Stas, he mimicked what you just said, and you both are absolutely right.
Yeah, it pains me. I just hear the fans calling it, and trust me, I wish you could run the ball like that too, but we can't. So it's just, we got to stop beating up the coaches. Because considering what we've gone through with injuries, considering the O-line shuffle that we had that day with two starters out, and you still wanted to run the ball, like, no, I was happy Eli Manning wasn't on his back. You know, I mean, just let's just give this team our support like every other good fan should. That's one. Second thing, here's a little bold prediction.
Oh, okay. I
feel
that.
Like the Giants are going to go 5-1 the next 6 games.
Who are they going to lose to in that 6-game period there, Stas?
There's one or two teams that scare me, and it's not the one that you guys are all thinking. Because I feel like we can take it from the Panthers. I watched Carolina. Cam Newton is playing some awesome ball.
Yes, he
but
is.
But if you watch like all his games, he's also playing some quarters of horrible ball. And with the way the Giants are taking takeaways, I think we could capitalize on that. What Cam Newton is doing, like he seldomly this year has put four quarters of football together. There's been several times where he's just turned it on in the fourth quarter, third quarter.
Their defense,
like,
though, Stas, the Panthers' defense is really good. Oh, boy, are they good.
And they got a good running game, too.
They are really good. But the two teams, for whatever reason, really worry me. I feel like the Giants can easily lose to the Vikings, and they can easily lose to the Jets. Those are the two teams that I think if we're going to lose one, it's going to be those two. I feel like the rest of them, we have a fighting chance against.
Chance.
When I think about Vikings, they have a premier running back, and that hurts us. Teddy Bridgewater is getting better and better every week. Their defense is pretty good. Like I feel like Vikings and the Jets have the matchups work better in their favor than it does in ours. And I feel like it's opposite when it comes down to every other team that we're going to be playing, because Alfred Morris, he's out, so we're not running against Alfred Morris. Even though Kirk Cousins scares me because he's like Joe Montana or Joe Montana, we don't know which Kirk Cousins we're going to get. He scares me, but I have a feeling we'll pull it out on that one. Even though I say that Redskins game is going to be close, like we're going to win it. It's going to be by like 3 points. We're not going to blow anybody out. It's an in division game, and we just got to expect that. And I feel like we're going to get the Eagles at the end here. I feel like Chip Kelly's teams, they seem to, like, really start dipping towards the end.
Well, Stas, that's not good if it's going to be a close game with the Redskins, because Drake called up earlier and said he doesn't want any more gray hairs. So he's going to get a lot more gray hairs than in Atlanta. So you're not looking out for the well-being of Dre, Stas. That's not good.
No, no, we're not. And lastly, here's a question. So with Nick's coming back, and don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting the big burst Hakeem Nicks in 2011. But if my memory serves me correct, wasn't Nick's strong point his strength of catches in the red zone?
Yes, up until his final year with the Giants when he didn't score a touchdown, that was what he was very good at. Another thing he was very good at, Stas, and I don't think Eli has really connected with his other wide receiver other than this particular play yet this year. He was great at that back shoulder catch. You're absolutely right. And I think that's where Nicks can be really effective, running those outside back shoulder timing routes.
I feel if Nicks, if we can get 80% of Hakeem Nicks, I think he's just going to help us in the red zone. What I think hurts Giants fans more than not running the ball is the number of times we're in the red zone and we don't put on touchdown. And I think with Hakeem Nicks' big body, all we need to worry about with him is if he can get positioning, proper positioning on whoever's defending him, I think he's going to give enough of a threat that people are going to have to pay attention to him, that maybe they're not shadowing over Odell as hard as they normally are, and maybe just opens it up. That would be the best thing I can. If Nicks gives us that, I'll be extremely happy, because I feel like that's what we're lacking, is everyone keys in on Odell Beckham, but the minute we're in the red zone. And, you know, Eli forces him a couple of balls in the red zone. And honestly, with some of the drop sees that he's had, you know, I think it's good that Hakeem Nicks can come in there and alleviate some of that pressure.
Thank you,
Stas. Another weapon. Thanks,
appreciate the call. And the Giants, 44% in the red zone, by the way, offensively, which
tied for 25th.
That number's got to get better. I mean, those are the two things that'll kill you. Turnovers, takeaways, and settling for field goals.
And that's nothing new, John. It's really been an issue since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something we had talked about, you know, red zone struggles and settling for field goals. Now, in fairness, Josh Brown's been money this season, so that's at least helped their cause. Every time you've called Josh Brown's name out, you know, he's come through, with the exception of one extra point. But other than that, special teams has been very consistent. But in a game when you lose a close one to the Patriots and the Cowboys, turning one field goal into a touchdown is obviously going to determine the outcome.
Two big matchups I'm looking forward to for the Giants end of the year, individual player-wise. I want to see Odell Beckham against Josh Norman, who's probably been the
Carolina
best cornerback in football this year. Very, very under the radar.
He's got
long
been hands.
Great.
Yeah.
So I think he's against Beckham's a great matchup. And then I want to see Revis against Beckham. I know Revis had, you know, left with the concussion this week, and in that first half, DeAndre Hopkins had made some plays against him. But I think those will be two very interesting matchups to see whether or not those teams are willing to match up their top corners on an island and then take away everybody else. I think that'll be some fascinating back and forth between the two coaching staffs.
Well, and even the Vikings, who have some young corners too.
I
think that's going to be some interesting matchups. And I'll even throw out, you know, this is not an individual matchup, but just the Carolina linebackers, who I think basically make up one of the best units in the National Football
League. Keekly Davis.
Correct. Very versatile group, good at stopping the run. They're also good at getting back in coverage, and that's going to be a big test for the Giants offense as well.
Jets defensive line, rather, against the Giants offensive line, too. You know, Richardson, I think, will be back by then, right? Mo Wilkerson's still in there. You got the rookie, Leonard Williams. I know they haven't been as dominant as you thought they were going to be this year, but those are some very talented big guys up there.
Well, and part of it, I think, has been some of the mistakes of the offense putting that defense in a precarious position. That's why when I look at that matchup, we're really getting ahead of ourselves, but I like the Giants' defense against this Jets offense. And earlier in the year, Chris Ivory was pounding the football. Lately, they've been struggling to run the football, John, and they've also been turnover-prone.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, look, guys are what they are. And, you know, for the first three quarters against Dallas, Matt Cassel looked great. And then in the fourth quarter, Matt Cassel made some of the mistakes he's, you know, prone to make from time to time. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, for the first eight games, maybe seven games, didn't turn
clean
the ball over a whole
lot,
played pretty clean football. But you know what? You are who you are. And look, Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't a bad quarterback. He just is what he is. You know, there's a reason that he's not a top 15 guy. He's a, you know, second 15 or second 20 guy, wherever you want to put him. And you're going to throw the ball to the other team. We've seen it before. We'll see it again.
Well, and that's a perfect segue to this stat that I'm going to throw out. Kirk Cousins this season, when he has not thrown an interception.
And he's right in that same category, by
the way. Yes, he is in that same category. But this is why this is relevant.
Absolutely.
And it's about the game that we're going to be previewing all week. When Kirk Cousins has thrown an interception this season, the Redskins, 0 wins.
When he throws an interception?
Yes.
Even
when
just
he plays,
one.
When, correct. When he plays clean football, they have won all of those games. So what do you think?
Someone did some work over the weekend.
Well, we sprinkled in a few stats here or there in between other
very good
things, yes. But that, to me, is a great stat heading into this Giants game. You've done a great job taking away the football for Kirk Cousins. Do it again. You're going to put yourself in a position to win a football game. Len is in Maryland. He's a big numbers guy. So let's see what he will offer us this afternoon.
Len, how was Tampa Bay, first and foremost?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Tampa Bay was beautiful. And I think what made it the most beautiful was winning the ball game.
Absolutely. And you know what? That was a well-fought win. In the last 2 weeks, we've seen two other NFC East teams lose to the Bucs. So a very important win in that common opponents tiebreaker, too.
How about that? Yes, yes, yes. Very important because, as you said earlier, they're 5-5.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, one game at a time. You know, we got a game Sunday. Let's go down here and win this game. I'll be there. Looking forward to it, like I always am.
Not much traveling,
too,
Len.
The game here is in Washington.
It's a local one.
How beneficial is this? You don't have to go too far this weekend.
I don't have to go too far. I'm probably 30 minutes from the parking lot.
Now, Len, here's my question for you. How bold?
Can't find anybody to go with me. Nobody wants to go to a game with me.
Well, Len,
even my wife doesn't want to go to a
game. Wow, oh, boy. You must be a handful, Len.
It's a tough place to see a game.
Well, Len, I was going to ask you, how bold are you? Do you go and, like, tailgate in your Giants gear in the Redskins parking lot? Do you, like, roll the dice? Like, what do you do?
Well, you know, John, the last 7 or 8 years, I've gone by myself. I'm just not going to miss this game. I've probably seen 45 to 48 Giant Redskins game down here.
Wow.
I got down here in 65, and so I got a pretty good string going. I just go. I mean, if they're this close to me, I got to go. You know, I buy a sandwich, I sit in the car, I drink a beer, I eat my sandwich, I walk into the stadium, I try to be quiet, I don't wear
smart.
Giant stuff. I'll put a blue cap, ski cap on. It's going to be cold Sunday.
Ah, very smart. I like it, Len. I like it.
A subtle reminder of who you support.
I don't yell too much, but, you know, most of the time coming out of those stadiums, I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good.
Certainly
in
the last 20 years, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, if I'm, if I'm the Giants, here's the two things. Yeah. You know, one game at a time. Trust the game plan. Tom gives us a game plan. You can win the game. Trust the game plan and do your job. We're better than this team, guys. If we trust that game plan, we do our job. We're going to win this game, and then on to the next one, one at a time. And where I want to be at 4 o'clock on January the 3rd, as much as I'd like to just sit around and watch the other teams in the NFC East lose games, we got to play and we got to win. And I think things are going to be looking pretty good at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on January 3rd. I think we're going to be in the playoffs. One key matchup on Sunday, watch this matchup. And I like this guy coming off the bench. I like Dallas Reynolds. We're probably not going to see Richburg, unfortunately. But you know what? There's some veteran leadership. There's something about Dallas Reynolds. Look, we're not talking about Pro Bowl guys. We're talking about a veteran guy coming off the bench, and I think we're going to need him on Sunday. Their nose tackle, that big guy Baker, I think it's 92.
Yep.
Tough player. But I think Reynolds will handle him, and I think we'll do our job. And beat this team, and then it's on. On to the Jets. We'll worry about that when that comes around. And as I usually say to you guys, at this time of the year, I got the one question for you. John knows it best. Eli's playing, right?
Eli's
there
playing.
He always feels good when Eli's under center.
Thank you, Len.
Eli's got this.
Happy Thanksgiving. If we don't talk to you,
trust the game plan. Do your job. We'll be winners. We'll be winners at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Len.
We'll talk to you, Len.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. Hey, John, thanks for the contact, by the way.
No problem. Anytime, my friend.
Okay, buddy.
All right, Len.
Take care.
Take it easy. Bye. Appreciate the phone call, as always. Confident?
I was waiting for the Len. And, guys, who's their quarterback? Come on.
Well, he played the role of who's our quarterback.
Correct.
That was the type
I thought
of
he would do the ball. He likes to do
went
both.
In the opposite direction.
By the way, fans, remember – Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Fiegels took a week off this week making selections since there was no Giants. He said, you know what? Giants aren't playing. I'm bailing.
Well, it gives him time to game plan for the next week.
It was a bye week for the Giants and for Fiegels for DraftKings.
He's entitled to get some rest and relaxation.
More calls.
A little R&R. Christian is in New York. Christian, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Well, I'm actually pretty excited to have heard about the signing of Akeem Nicks, because I don't think they would have went out and gotten him unless he significantly improved with his physical ability since he was last there. He had to have gained a little more burst to him. You know, he's definitely going to be much more healthier, or else they wouldn't have went out and done that, given all their history.
Well,
you know?
Christian, I will say this, though. If he was significantly better, wouldn't they have, you know, signed him before now? I mean, it's not like they hadn't, you know, seen him around before. You know, they waited till now to sign him. So, again, I appreciate your optimism. I like Akeem. If you go to Giants.com, I did an interview with him last week. It was a good spot. He's very happy, very excited. Don't expect 2011 Akeem Nicks to walk through that door or walk through that tunnel on Sunday.
Yeah, certainly not. I mean, I think we know why we brought him here. They're looking for the tough yards. They're looking for those, you know, catches in traffic. I don't think you want Odell to do that all day. But something I'm really interested in is how they line these guys up. I mean, maybe he's going to be in the slot catching some tough passes over the middle. I mean, maybe you put Odell there. I mean, that's really interesting to see how they're going to line these guys up. I've always, since the season started, I've really wanted to see Reuben Randall in the slot because, I mean, he's decent, but he's never really taken that big next step on the outside. And maybe he can be like a Jordan Matthews type of guy, what they're doing in Philly with him, because they're pretty similar.
Well, Randall has made some big plays on the outside throughout the season, especially if you look over the course of a number of games.
But that big
Dallas
catch,
game.
How about the big catch against New England
New
on
England
the sideline?
Too. Yeah, there were a number. It's almost as if, like, every single game you pick out a 25 to 40-yard grab. So, I mean, I think he's been effective, Christian, when they've lined him up on the outside. You do bring up a good point that now with Nicks back in the mix, hey, you know, you can get creative, you can mix and match, you can move guys around, but I don't know if Randall, they're going to necessarily experiment with putting him in the slot. I think Nicks has the possibility, Beckham has the possibility, and, of course, Dwayne Harris, who they've been utilizing.
Anything else, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I really like Randall. I'm actually an LSU fan, so you guys know I love Randall. But, you know, it's just tough because second-round pick, you just have more expectation than what you're getting from him. And, you know, maybe it's the time late in that contract year where you really try to mix things up and just see if he has anything more to offer. Because, I mean, second-round pick, this guy is supposed to be like a high-end wide receiver, second wide receiver for you. And that's – I'm just not sure you've gotten that out of him.
Well, I think part of it with Reuben Randall, I appreciate the phone call, Christian. Remember, you know, he's been dealing with some knee injuries earlier in this season. When he's healthy – you're going to see, obviously, an increase in the production. And he's also taken advantage of his opportunities this season. You know, he's had opportunities in the past, but I think he's been more consistent in saying, hey, they need me. Victor Cruz is sidelined. I have to step up. And as I was referencing with John a minute ago, I think that you have seen more than just the flashes game to game as opposed to perhaps, you know, what we've been seeing this season. Let's head back to the phone lines, close up shop with one more.
I have two nuggets real
here?
Quick.
Sure.
In the locker room, the players have just been talking. One, Larry Donnell says he's full go off rest in that neck, so he should be back this week. Weston Richburg hopes to work later in the week. He confirms he's a high ankle sprain. Now, those can be 3 to 4 week injuries, so we'll see if they can get him back this week. But as Len mentioned and Lance talked about before, Dallas Reynolds, a nice little veteran backup. So if he can't go, they have someone reliable to step in there at center. Now let's finish it up with Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe.
Sounds good, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, just very happy the way we are, you know. We coming into this season, the offense, a lot of questions, rookie in there, Flowers at tackle there, the left side or so, and the defense, a lot of questions there with Spagnuolo, a lot of of young guys. Maybe we have that linebacker we've been looking for now. And we took some of the best shots we had to take, and we're still standing. I like our Eli going forward there with our receivers and running backs out of the backfield. And I just think we learned from all this and matured. And I think we're going to be in it, and we're going to be there and make it to the playoffs, and hopefully going on for the next couple of years, because in every position we have young guys in the backfield with Collins and in the offensive line with Flowers and that, and it looks very good to me going ahead. And even like the tight ends, Ty, the way he filled in there, you know, so it's looking good. And hopefully we can stay healthy, and that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Short, sweet, and to the point.
How was your bye week, by the way?
Well, I was working like crazy. I was traveling a lot. So.
Oh, did you?
I didn't necessarily have enough opportunity
on the road
to regroup and relax so
well,
much.
Well, I was on the road, too, Friday and Saturday in Pittsburgh. So it wasn't a total weekend off, but even having 1 or 2 days.
To at least
can't
unwind.
Argue with that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, did you go to a Broadway show? How was that?
Yeah, we went to see Hamilton on Thursday night.
There you go.
It's fantastic. It's very, very good. Highly recommended.
All right.
Right on. I like Book of Mormon better, but it's right there. Very close to being on the same levels. Excellent.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, was dinner included in this extravaganza, or
we
was this just a show?
No, it was a couple people were in from out of town, so
okay.
We went out, me and the wife, him and his wife.
Nice.
We did a little place down there. I had a little ramen, which was delicious.
Took nice advantage
night.
Of the culture of the
yeah,
city.
It was very good.
Yeah, look at you.
Tremendous.
Absolutely.
Great weekend. So you might have said something that was non-work related over the weekend.
No, not
that?
Really.
No.
Just boring as usual.
Meadow, you are the
well,
worst.
When you're traveling left and right, you don't really have much time to breathe.
Now, I want to have the Tino in here to find out what he did during the bye week.
Oh, I can't imagine. Well, what do you think he did?
Walk like 15 miles in
I
a day?
I saw him
you
earlier
think?
Today. I should have actually asked him.
Oh, you're about to shoot some videos.
Well,
with him,
I know.
So
I'm probably going to hear it up to here. But, I mean, what do you think he did? He probably reviewed the first 10 games.
Do you think he rewatched every single one of them?
I guarantee he did. He probably built about 15 different charts, came up with some algorithms.
How many yellow legal pads did he go through?
Oh, boy, the amount of trees that were killed over the last week. I mean, boy, Mother Nature, she's in rough shape right now. She's going to need a whole other bye week to recover. Let's just close out here with a tweet or two.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people
yeah.
weighing
yeah,
in.
Yeah, go through.
We were talking about Akeem Nix. So at EZ_BKNY, very optimistic about the return of Akeem Nix. As he points out, actually, this is the wrong tweet that I have up here. I had it, and now I lost it. I got so distracted by the trees that were being
Paul Dottino and
manhandled as a result of Paul Dottino. Here we go. Don't underestimate the chemistry of Eli and Nix. We will see Nix play Sunday, and he will make big plays when we need them. So he believes that Nix will pick up where he left off. I think it may take a week or two, but I think the chemistry and the experience that the two of them have playing with one another bodes much better than if you brought in somebody who never was with the Giants organization. That's clearly an advantage. You can't necessarily overlook that. Let's take a look at what else we have here in terms of some of the tweets that were thrown around here on hashtag Giants Chat. A lot of people talking about, obviously, the future opponents. We're having some Vikings chatter here, I see.
Really?
Yes.
All right, that's interesting.
Ben speculating about what the Vikings are good at and what they're bad at.
Well, hold on a second. I didn't think we were allowed to talk about the other teams. People are very upset about that from
well,
what I saw.
Well, you know, listen, we got to focus on
because,
the
you know,
one game
there is
hand.
Only one team in the National Football League. The Giants don't play any of their opponents. They just play themselves.
That's true. Well, listen, we've been focusing on the Giants. We got to look at the landscape of the NFC East, too. It's
There's
all
no
relative.
There's game
yeah.
this week for the Giants. So,
David Rochester weighing
Man,
in on Tino.
Stupid.
We'll leave that for the amusement of people on Twitter. You want to read that one?
It's not that good of a line.
Oh, really? Not a fan? All right, Dave, so John's telling you got to work on your material.
He didn't earn it.
We don't get a thumbs
you gotta
up
earn it.
From you there.
Got to earn it.
I'm still perusing here. We want to continue to throw out some other thoughts here as we move along. Oh, here's Donald at Tag Rocket. Another chance for the G-men to put some distance between themselves and the rest of the division. And the question remains, will they take advantage of that?
And
you control your own
hey,
destiny.
If you win this week, you still control your destiny. If you lose, you don't. And that's why it's really important. You're back in the mix tomorrow, right?
Correct.
Awesome.
Back in the mix tomorrow.
Good to see you, Lance.
Sounds good. We appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. We'll have plenty of new content up at Giants.com as we continue to preview the Washington Redskins and look ahead. For John Schmelk, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll be back here at noon Eastern tomorrow on Tuesday. Have a good rest of your Monday.
Take it easy.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the field. He's got through. 35, 30.